Welcome once again to my dark world of fear and horror. This is story number 6, Dead Man's Boots. A story of the supernatural, a story of an unwelcome visitation. House hunting, as many of you will know, can be a daunting, even for some, a terrifying experience. So when Richard and Myra Duncan saw a terraced house in South London at a very reasonable price, it seemed too good to be true. They could hardly believe their luck. After months of doing the estate agents, the terraced house in Belmont Gardens seemed exactly what they'd been searching for.
It positively reeks of it. Possibility, possibility, possibility. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, as you say, it does seem to have.
Seem to have? With due deference, Mrs. Duncan, I should say that it positively hits one in the eye. And at the asking price, well, a positive sniff, if you'll excuse the natural. Let's see to that.
It does need an awful lot doing to it.
Part of the attraction, dear lady, it simply screams out for someone to take it in hand, love it again, give it the treatment.
Well, I don't...
It is or will be whatever you want it to be. Far more preferable than being stuck with one of those ghastly Victorian Gothic monstrosities that positively refuse to be anything other than it is. The drawing room. Bijou, but malleable, wouldn't you agree?
My wife and I were wondering...
Oh, yes, please feel free.
If it's such a snip, why hasn't it been snapped up before?
My dear lady, I can quite appreciate your, shall we say, natural scepticism. Although the property has been vacant for more years than one would believe decent, it has only very recently come onto the market.
I see.
A charming room, wouldn't you agree? Faces south, gets all the sunshine. You could knock that wall right through and have direct access to the garden.
Has anyone else shown an interest?
Very early days, Mr...
Duncan.
Very early days, Mr. Duncan. As a matter of fact, you're the first to be given the grand tour, but interest will certainly be shown, and take my word for it.
Quite. Would you mind leaving my wife and I alone for a minute or two so that we can discuss...
Oh, but not at all, not at all. I shall attend you in the hall when you require me.
Darling, is he for real?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So grand, my dear.
Never been the same since he sold Buck House to
Stop
the Queen.
Stop it, he might be listening.
Well, what do you think?
Well, the man did imply we'd be stark raving mad not to take it.
It has nothing to do with what the man says.
Hasn't it? Still.
Still what?
I still think we'll knock that wall through. It leads straight out onto the garden. Richard! Richard! Can you hear me, Richard? Richard!
What now?
Can you come up a minute?
Well, here I am, up to my eyes.
Just for a minute. It's important. Sorry. You won't be sorry. I've got something to show you. Come on.
Darling, this had better be good. You know how they down tools and brew up the minute my back is turned.
See what I mean?
It won't take a minute. Then you can scamper back down and show them who's boss all over again. Now then. I want you to close your eyes and give me your hand.
Myra.
But it's a surprise. You'll see.
Yeah, the really big surprise will be when those cowboys hand me their bill.
It won't take a minute. Come on.
Well, where are you taking me?
Our bedroom.
A bit early in the day, isn't it?
Idiot. Find that packing case. Oh, sorry. It's a bit further. There. You can open them now. Well, what do you see?
That your paper stripping isn't going as fast as it should be.
Oh, Richard.
Oh, give me a clue there.
The fireplace, just to the side of the fireplace.
To the side?
Hinges! Don't you see them? Hinges! Which must mean...
A cupboard of some sort.
Papered over? Why would anybody want to paper a bedroom cupboard over?
Has been known. Where was it?
Rillington Place.
What happened?
Oh, some nosy individual went exploring. And an arm fell
out. Oh, God. Well, then maybe we'd just better paper over it again and pretend it was...
Never there. You and me spending a lifetime of married bliss not 3 feet away from the thing and pretending it wasn't there. If the suspense didn't kill us, the heebie-jeebies would. Pass me that trowel.
What are you going to do?
One small step for man. Oh, blast. I snapped the damn thing.
Perhaps it's an omen.
Omen schmomen. Chisel. So. Ah, coming. Coming. Come.
Now then. Oh, Richard, what do you think we're going to find?
Oh, don't ask me. No way of knowing till I get the thing open. A miser's hoard, huh? Like the joint of doubloons, me old hearty. Forget the decorating. We'll pull out and take a house in Nash Terrace. All right. Here we go, then. Oh, oh dear. And when they got there, the cupboard was bare. Oh, no, she's disappointed. 1 minute she's terrified she's going to find something, and then when she finds nothing at all, it's like she'd come up on the pools and forgotten to post the coupon. Oh, well, no doubloons. I'd best get back before those central heating wallets take us for every penny.
Richard?
What now? You watch the black packs, don't get you.
There is something tucked away, right down in the bottom corner.
What? Come on, then. The suspense is killing me.
Boots.
Boots? My God, you're not kidding either. Well, you just look at them. Steel toe caps and hobnails. Must have been there since the year dot. Certainly seen far better days, as far as the soles go.
Something else.
Cape of some kind.
Bedshawl. Crochet must have taken ages.
Very pretty, I'm sure. Well, you bag the shawl, I'll bag the boots, and every other Michaelmas Tuesday will agree to a swap.
Newspaper cutting.
What?
Must have fallen from one of the boots when I gave them to you.
Newspaper cutting? What, not even Captain Blood's treasure map, me old Hardy? Well, what does it say, then?
What was it doing in the boot?
Keeping the puddles out.
Can't be. It's been scissor-clipped around the edges.
Oh, proper little Sherlock Holmes. Well, what does it say, then?
Seems like a coroner's inquest report. Hmm? The late Gwendolyn M. Price.
Ooh, Gwendolyn Price. Taffy, would you say?
Oh, my God, Richard.
What?
The unfortunate woman was found strangled and horribly mutilated in her bed at 47 Bridgemont Terrace, SE11. Her husband...
William Arthur Price... After extensive questioning as to his exact...
Whereabouts?
At the time of his wife's death. Has now been released from remand. Verdict, murder by person or persons unknown. There's a photograph of him.
Ugly looking blighter. I see why they have their doubts.
Just brewed up, can't find your sugar!
What the hell, you can't. Anyway, hand them over. I'll chuck them in the skip with the rest of the rubbish.
What?
The boots.
My boots? You'll do no such thing. I think they're rather romantic. Who was it painted that famous picture? Van Gogh? Gauguin? I always get them mixed up.
Myra, they are not in the least romantic. They're grotesque. They're also somewhat smelly.
They are not. In any case, they're our very first housewarming presents.
Housewarming? We're not even moved into the place. Not likely to at the present rate of progress.
House welcoming, then.
What the hell are you going to do with them?
I'll think of something. I could plant them bulbs in them and put them on the windowsill.
Oh, God forbid. I haven't married one of those, have I?
One of what?
Those ghastly twee handicraft ladies. The whole house will be cluttered up with raffia table mats and Chianti bottle table lamps.
Oh, you idiot.
Come on. Give.
Hey, boss, we found the sugar that led a beaker shot.
Stop.
Coming.
Off you go, then. I'll bring them down with me when I come.
Well, you see you do.
Chuck you in the skip, indeed. Murder. By person or persons unknown.
The long-dead image of William Arthur Price stared unblinkingly almost threateningly into the camera lens. Blurred, damp-stained, and yet, after all these years, a strangely frightening image. William Arthur Price. His face hard, haunting, his stocky, muscular body barely contained by his cheap tweed suit. Barely contained.
Myra, for the umpteenth time, why don't you just drop it?
But I think
we've got enough on our plates trying to get the house in shape without you poring over that damn newspaper cutting, digging up other people's skeletons every time the opportunity presents itself.
I didn't know I was getting on your nerves.
Well, you ruddy well are. Oh, now the damn coffee's gone cold.
I'll make us some more.
No, don't bother. Don't bother. I'm sorry, love. I just wish...
What?
Well, this cutting, if it is a cutting in the first place.
What else, then?
Something to keep the damn rain out.
It would have been torn out, not cut with scissors. They don't even look as though they'd let the rain in.
Maybe they were too large for the poor beggar, then.
Why was there only stuffing in the one boot? If they were too large, wouldn't he have packed both?
I don't know.
But surely he...
I don't know, Myra. I don't either know or damn well care. For heaven's sake, even if it were deliberately cut out, which I doubt, you can't even be sure you're reading the right article. See? There's an advert for Smithson's world-famous truss on the other side. I don't see you particularly worked up about that.
Now you're being ridiculous.
I will make that coffee.
But, Richard, it has to be the murder account we were meant to take notice of.
We were meant to take notice of?
It's a bit blurred, but you can see where his name's been underlined. Well, it must mean something.
Oh, it most certainly does, Sherlock.
Why didn't I notice that before? The house number, it's the same as ours, 47. And, Richard, it's the same district, too.
But not, you'll also notice, the same street name.
It can't just be a coincidence. It must mean something.
Oh, it most certainly does. It means that the poor devil who folded it and put it in there was either developing the most god-awful blister or in mortal fear of developing double pneumonia.
Richard!
It also means that while we are chewing the cud here, the whole house is still a pigsty. And one of us, at least one of us, had better try and damn well do something about it.
Richard, your coffee!
Myra? Myra, is that you?
Your scarlet woman.
I was about to turn out the bloodhounds. You look beat.
Shattered.
I fixed you a drink.
Oh, thanks. Sorry not to be here when you got home.
No problem. Good day?
What? Oh, nothing special. Madge rang. She persuaded me to down tools and meet her for lunch. After lunch, she persuaded me to go shopping. Then she dragged me along to a perfectly ghastly film.
She rang. Just before you got in. She was worried. She said you'd arranged to meet her, but you didn't turn up.
I see.
Where were you?
For God's sake, Richard, I don't have to explain my every move, do I? I just couldn't bear the thought of Madge and all that endless prattle. So where the hell do you think I was? Shacked up in some sordid little hotel room with my latest boyfriend?
You've been making inquiries about the Price case, haven't you?
How did you know?
Knew it would only be a matter of time. Like a dog with a bone. The more I tried to persuade you to drop the business, the more determined you became to get to the bottom of things.
It was easier than I thought. I just dropped into a couple of newspaper offices, gave them the date of that coroner's report, and worked backwards from there. Took me all afternoon. It was quite a cause célèbre. All the evidence pointed to his having murdered the poor woman. It seems he'd been having a long-time affair, even boasted to his mistress that he'd killed her, but that they...
But that they could chase me through the gates of hell and still not pin the deed on me. He had a certain taste for the dramatic, didn't he?
How long have you known about him?
A couple of days after you found his damned boots and that newspaper cutting. We've probably sat in the same offices, poring over the same yellowing pages.
I see.
Finding out that that it actually happened here was just a confirmation, I suppose. Part of me telling myself, even before we signed the deed, that there had to be something, some catch, that we were being kept in the dark about. Our dapper little estate man was very persuasive. All that baloney about not being able to trace the legal owner. But the house couldn't have just lain empty for as long as he asked us to believe. And when I challenged him about it, he was forced to come clean.
How? How many have there been between the prices and us?
He wasn't even able to give me an accurate figure. They came, they went. None of them stayed long.
Did they give any reason for leaving?
As far as he knew, not in so many words. An atmosphere about the place.
Yes. There is, isn't there? Looking back, I think I felt something the minute I put my foot over the door. A feeling of intrusion.
You never mentioned it.
I chose to ignore it, more like. Finding the place, it all seemed too good to be true, didn't it? Like you, I thought there must be a catch. But something ordinary, mundane, something structural, perhaps. Sinking foundations. When we knocked in the first nail, the whole place would come tumbling down about our heads. Certainly nothing to do with, well, the way things turned out. I don't blame you for not telling me about it before. I can see why you thought that keeping me in the dark was for the best. That even now, knowing about it all, there might still be a way for us to stay here, make things work.
Might there? Myra?
I've been asking myself the same question ever since I left that newspaper office. Sat in the park just trying to think it through. I kept remembering the account they gave of finding her. The terrifying mutilations, the indescribable expression of horror on her face in those last moments when she confronted whatever, whoever.
Darling, 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 don't.
But it was important for me, Richard. It still is. I have to keep asking myself the same question. Now that you've had your worst suspicion confirmed, does it really make any difference? Whatever happened here happened between strangers, and so long ago. It's not even the same house. Is it? If the prices were to come back now, they wouldn't even recognise the place. Well, would they? It's all over and done with, isn't it? They're dead. Buried, gone, and dreamt of. Well, what right has even the memory of them to challenge that? To change that? How can it possibly affect what we have between us, here, now? I sat in the park till it got dark. I kept asking myself that. Us, here, now.
And?
I'm still asking myself it. Richard?
Why are you doing that? You said you could lie in.
Oh, for God's sake, so I can. Force of habit. Lie in. Bliss. Wake me for Christmas lunch.
Idiot.
Oh, come on, darling. Do you have to put all that muck in your face?
Have to. Nearly done.
Oh, I'm beat. Beat. Remind us never to have another housewarming. Downstairs looks as though a landmine hit it.
Maybe we should have made a start.
Perish the thought.
They all seem to enjoy themselves.
The liquor consumption would indicate as much.
Very complimentary about the house.
Very. When I gave Madge the guided tour, you'd have thought I was showing her round Versailles.
She would.
Oh, come on, darling. Some shut-eye, please.
Done. And it might help if I didn't have to hang up clothes for the pair of us.
Richard, where are they?
What?
The boots. What have you done with them?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do. They were here, at the bottom of the wardrobe. I put them there myself.
Exactly. You bloody well put them there yourself. Well, what kind of behaviour is that? Can you tell me that? You not only cleaned the damn things, you put them in our wardrobe.
But it's...
Why the hell didn't you get them repaired while you were at it? All in tip-top condition for when our Mr. Price comes calling.
Don't, Richard, please.
Yes, Richard, please. The damn things have become some sort of obsession. Did you really think I didn't know you only went through the motions of putting them in the bin and then retrieving them the minute my back was turned? And that damn shawl thing. Any night now I expect to see you climbing into our bed wearing it.
Richard.
Oh, it's no good looking for the thing. It's done. The damn boots, the ruddy shawl, they've both gone. Disposed of.
Oh, my God, no.
Right? Gone. Well, there's not a chance in hell of you getting your hands on them again. Ever. Ever again.
Oh, God, Richard. What have you done? What have you done? Richard? Oh, Richard, for God's sake, Richard!
Oh, go back to sleep.
Richard! Wake up, please! There's someone down there, they're trying to get in, Richard!
Oh! Myra, what the hell is it? What are you on about?
But you must have heard it, you must!
What? Heard what?
The front door! And now they're in the house, I know they are!
For God's sake, get some sleep.
Will you look, Richard? Please, go and look.
All right, damn it. I will go and look. If there's the slightest chance of getting some sleep, I will go and look. Who's there? Is anyone down there?
Be careful, please. God, be careful.
Is there anyone down there? Must have damn well dreamt it, didn't you?
Richard? Richard?
Well, if there was anyone, they'd come upon.
Just a minute. Perhaps I can spot something from the window. Oh!
He was there, beyond the pane. William Arthur Price. The great bulk of him immediately recognizable to him. Back from the dead. A fiendish face, mud-smirched from its grave, and even through the glass, a sweet stench of decay as it pressed itself closer, ever closer.
Oh, dear. Dear God.
Oh. Myra? Are you all right? Myra?
He found her where she'd fainted. At her side, the pair of heavy hobnailed boots and draped, shroud-like across her pillow, the faded, crocheted bed shawl.
Turned into quite a hunt, I'm afraid. So many prices in the district, I've no idea. However, patience has its own reward. Here you are, you see. The elusive gentleman himself. Price, William Arthur, 47 Bridgemont Terrace. Deceased, buried on December the 11th, 1907.
Does he give any indication where his grave might be?
There's a plot number, 8. Oh, 8. Doesn't look too hopeful, I'm afraid. All the early numbers indicate plots that have lapsed and subsequently been redeveloped. For more recent interment, you understand. Sounds callous, doesn't it? Mercenary, even. But what's one to do? The relatives die, the graves fall into neglect. What is one to do?
Is there any chance of this one having survived?
Oh, I fear not. The headstone might be around somewhere, of course.
I'm sorry?
The headstone. The ones that still remain standing were frequently moved and reset against the boundary wall. Your best bet would be to look near the lych gate, just over there.
William Arthur Price. William Arthur...
You found it, then?
Eventually. It's so indecipherable, I must have passed it half a dozen times.
Mm, not very impressive, is it? In loving memory of Gwendolyn something Price... Can you make that out?
Myra. Her middle name was Myra.
Ah, yes. Born 1875, departed this life 1900. Poor girl, she was quite young, wasn't she? And of her husband, William Arthur Price. Born 1860.
But they haven't put down his date of death.
I'm sorry?
You see, no date of death. You think they'd have given the date of his death,
yes,
too.
Yes, I take your point. On the other hand, it's a pretty shoddy piece of work altogether. Oh, there's a verse of some kind, too. Heaven knows that we can decipher it. One sleeps in peace, the other seeks.
The other seeks eternal rest.
But what does it mean?
He killed her. He was the murderer, she his victim. They could never prove it, but there seems little doubt. No, there can be no doubt.
The other seeks eternal rest, a plea for forgiveness, then.
Or just a simple statement of fact. Richard, is that you?
Only me.
Oh, thank God. It's terribly late. I was beginning to panic. Where are you?
Still in Manchester. A bit of a crisis, I'm afraid.
Crisis?
Oh, nothing too serious, but it means me stopping up here to try and sort it out.
Oh, please, Richard, come home.
I can't. It's a vitally important piece of business.
Please, Richard.
Darling, nothing up, is there? Darling?
You mustn't leave me here. Not at night. I've never been here alone at night. Richard? The lights have gone. Oh, dear God. Richard! The lights have... Richard? Richard? Richard! Candle. Candle. The boots. He'll be coming for his boots. Coming. Oh, my God.
When Myra Duncan had locked and bolted the front door, she went upstairs and climbed onto the bed and found the shawl. It was as though it had been deliberately laid out for her. Automaton-like, she wrapped it tightly about her. Then she lay back and waited.
God! Oh, dear, dear God!
They found her. Every door in the house was locked, every window securely latched. There was no sign of forced entry, no clue as to who or what could have perpetrated such unimaginable acts of horror and desecration upon her. The official verdict on Myra Duncan was murder by some person or persons unknown. After it was over, Richard moved away. He married that vitally important piece of business he'd pleaded on his Manchester trip. Incidentally, the house is still empty. For those whose investigations would take them this far, in an upstairs bedroom, in a cupboard wallpapered over near the fireplace, they'll find a bonus. A pair of large, clay-clogged boots. They come with the property. If you happen to be house-hunting, you won't forget that address, will you? Ah, but then, of course, it could have been changed again, couldn't it? The cast was Richard, Sean Barrett, Myra, Jane Whittenshaw, the vicar, James Green, and the estate agent, Nigel Carrington. Dead Man's Boots was written by William Ingram, and directed by Martin Jenkins. I am Edward D'Souza, the man in black. And next week, at the same time, I shall be telling you what happens when someone is sent to hospital for a routine operation.